Welcome to session 3 of the audio version of the PDH online course on simplified short circuit calculations. We were talking about the notation on the modeling software and just talking about generic bus duct and compact bus duct. After that, let's talk about bus 3 through bus 10, which is where the feeders go to the load buses. These are the names of the ends of the feeders. Note that they are out of order. This is a common problem with power modeling software. It believes what you tell it, and when you add more, it adds more, with new numbers after the original numbers. I made the mistake of entering bus 3, then more in front of, rather than after, bus 3. When I added the larger bus ducts, I did add them after bus 3. Now this looks funny, it's a little awkward when modifying the database for additional runs. There may be hidden functions to renumber the buses, but I couldn't find it. But again, we're talking the loads at the end of the feeders. L1, 0MW, 0MVAR to L8, 0MW, 0MVAR. These are the existing loads on the feeders. I use zero values because the table report is simplified conditions. Most loads, other than motors, do not affect short circuit current values. Motors do. Just as they have an inrush at starting, they have an outrush when the terminals are shorted. The outrush is limited by the motor characteristics to about 600% full load amps. It must be included for large motor loads. Just to add in the amps. Now, I just went through this exercise on a very large plant. I think I mentioned it earlier in this audio session. And the person who did the modeling used his design basis. He wouldn't look at any motors less than 100 horsepower. If it was 100 horsepower or more, he would include the amps. And once again, the modeling software has some values built in. You tell it you've got a motor and it'll choose the amps for it. You tell it more about the motor, it'll choose a more accurate number on the amps. Motors do have different characteristics. It's not simply 600%, but 600% is reasonable, and there is a limit to the accuracy on the short circuit modeling we're doing, and the 600% is pretty close to the accuracy of the overall system, so it's a good number to use, even though it's not precise in the terms of 100%. Nothing else meets the 100% accuracy, 0.1% accuracy kind of thing. Caveat: notice each of the simplifications listed above. The table results are good reasonableness values for preliminary design. They are good numeric values when the assumptions are met. They are absolutely bogus for substantial utility impedance, voltages other than 480, aluminum conductors, raceway other than steel, modern bus duct, or distances other than table values. Now, I keep kicking myself every time I talk about the modern bus duct versus the old style bus duct. You can buy the old style bus duct. A lot of people do buy them. I would guess that most of the sales are the old style bus duct because they're extensions of existing systems. Yeah, you can get adapters and put the new style on it, but then you're going to find out that none of your bus switches are transferable between the new section and the old section. So a lot of people are installing the old style, and it's good stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a skosh more expensive than the new style because, you know, value engineering, they get it down to the absolute minimal that does the job. But when I say new style, that does not imply better than the old style. It just, what's the term? Legacy and bleeding edge. Take your choice. Now we're going to look at our first table, and one of the tables of the 15 in the set is reproduced here in the written version. This is 500 kVA 5.5%. Why is that I started with 500 kVA 5.5%? Well, it's the top of the center list. It just seemed like a reasonable place to start. The top meaning 500 kVA. The range in transformer sizes is from 500 to 2500 kVA. 500, it's a real transformer. I've seen industrial plants operating off of 500 kVA transformers. It's not like it's a silly toy thing. It's just that it's the low end of the commercial size for pad mounts I'm trying to think. I think residential, they go smaller than that. But industrial 500 kV is about the smallest you'll ever see. And 5.5%, again, is a generic transformer impedance number. And so I did a bunch of calculations. And the table says, as described previously, that it's 480 volts, 500 kVA, 5.5%. Doesn't work anywhere else, should have good values under those circumstances. We're looking at cables of 4-aught, 250, 350, 500, and two conductors at 500 kcmil. Then we're looking at bus duct at 1200 amp. Oh, wait a minute, I thought we... Son of a gun, I think in the text previously I said it starts with 1000 amp and it starts with 1200. Well, the actual numbers used for the calculations are 1200 amp, 1600 amp, and 2000 amp. And again, those are very real numbers widely used in industry. Okay, the feet that are recognized here are 0 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet, 200 feet, 500 feet, 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet, 5,000 feet, and 10,000 feet. The reason these are here are all of them are real-world values. 0 feet means at the transformer terminals. Now, in fact, I did not populate the cells for 0 feet. I just put in a single value for the transformer terminals. Also, I didn't do the 10 feet distance, and the reason was there wasn't much difference between the transformer terminals and the 20 feet. So I figure, what are we going to contribute by looking at 10 feet? Well, let's look at these. Now, again, the idea is you're supposed to be looking at these while you're taking the course. You can't look at these while you're driving down the highway. and I don't recommend you do this while driving down the highway. But a 4-aught cable on a 480 volt, 500 kVA, 5.5% transformer, a 4-aught cable 20 feet away has 10,500 amps of short circuit available. What does that tell you? Well, first thing is you can't use an unfused disconnect 20 feet from the transformer and be legal. Unfused is 10,000 kA, and this is 10,500. So you've got to go a little farther. Now, it happens that at 50 feet, you could use an unfused disconnect. Now, you might say to yourself, well, why in the world would I want to use an unfused disconnect anyhow? Okay, let's say you've got a panel board and, you know, your incoming service panel board, and 50 feet away, you want to put, what would you run off an unfused disconnect? I'd put a circuit breaker in, anything I can imagine to install in the real world. Got to be something you would put off a unfused switch. Let me give you a real bad idea, a welding outlet. A lot of people use a switch and a welding outlet rather than a circuit breaker and a welding outlet. The idea being that you don't want to connect the thing hot. You don't want the arc in the guy's face. And you can actually buy switches that are interlocked with the weld plug so that it has to be off before you can insert it, and then after it's inserted you're allowed to turn it on. So that would be an unfused disconnect, and again, 50 feet away is legal, 20 feet away is not legal. Okay, that's a made-up story, but it shows how to use the table. Looking at the table, it goes to down to 9,000 amps at 100 feet away, but we've passed the magic 10,000 amp threshold, and that does have some significance. Anything less than 10,000 amps means general purpose equipment with no attention whatsoever on it. Okay, as we go to the other end, two conductors at 500 kcmil. It's slightly over 10,000 amps at 20 feet. Oh, by the way, the terminal amps is 11,000 amps. So, you know, it goes down to 10,000. How far before you can use generic 10,000 amp equipment on two conductors, 500 kcmil? That's 200 feet away before it works. Did I read that right? Yes, 200 feet away before you get below 10,000 amps. Now, actually, it's 9,400 amps at 200 feet, so you could get a little closer, but you couldn't get up to 100 feet. 100 feet is 10,100 amps. So someplace in between, you cross the magic 10,000 line, and we'll look at interpolation later. Again, looking at the 500 kVA 5.5% label, let's just look at the 2,000 amp bus duct. It says that you have to get 500 feet away before you can use an unfused device. Now, once again, this is real silly because on bus duct, you use fused disconnects. I mean, that's just what you do. You don't put in unfused disconnects. Either circuit breaker disconnects or fused disconnects. Awful lot of people like fused disconnects for a lot of reasons that we don't really need to discuss here. But this is how you read the table. And let's see what the text says. This is the first table in the set. Carries the sheet name available short circuit kiloamps using easy power. Values are in KA because that's the standard term used in specifications and catalogs. Tables were derived from results produced by Easy Power version 8.0.2.303. This is a commercial product of ESA, easypower.com. The work was done using their six-month trial version, which is identical to the commercial version, but lacks the save and print functions. I copied the results from the screen to a spreadsheet and didn't turn off my computer for 3 days while I was doing the computer runs. The sales representative was very happy to have me use it for this course. We're not violating copyrights and cheating the vendor. We're doing something that they endorse, showing how good their product is and showing you the results and maybe saving you buying it. But it's hard to justify the big bucks to buy the software, and this solves a lot of problems without doing that. Good news! Easy Power is an excellent product with a near-intuitive user interface, excellent online manual, superb technical support, and a great reputation in the industry. It is the intent of ESA that users sell the results they produce, and there can be no copyright on data. Other modeling software products with good reputations are SKM from SKM.com, ETAP from ETAP.com. And it's the intent of the course to get demo versions of each program, duplicate a few of the runs to validate the consistency of results among the programs. Stay tuned for future releases of the course. I think I read all this stuff to you before. Well, I don't know. I read it again and again, and at least one time it's stuck in my mind. Okay. Cable 4-aught to 2 at 500 kcmil. These are column headings for feeders examined. An interesting quirk of Microsoft Excel is that it forces values containing the at symbol to be email addresses and does not permit editing or change in the cell borders. Bus duct 1200 amp to 2000 amp. These are bus ducts I've used. When you look at the tables, you will see a pattern. Feet 10,934. When I started out, I planned to calculate available short circuit at the transformer terminals and for each feeder. The 10,934 is the available amps at the terminals. Obviously, it's the same for any feeder at 0 feet. I left the 0 feet row because the table looked truncated without it. You always wonder. Anyway, I have some sense of what a good table should look like. It should go from the lowest value to the highest value, and the lowest value should be 0. And I listed it as terminals rather than 0, but I left the table trying to look right. Feet 20, 10,551. This row displays available short circuit current for each feeder that is 20 feet long. Note that all are above the 10,000 KA value for cheap molded case circuit breakers or unfused switches. Caveat, I was surprised by this result and hope that you can also learn from it. Even a small transformer can blow up gear connected by short feeders. And this is why I talk about direct connected unit substations, where the feeder panel is part of the switchboard structure. That means you've got bus bars in there, you've got essentially no feeder at all. And I don't think they'll sell you illegal stuff that's likely to blow up in your face, but you pay a premium for getting the high interrupting capacity in the switchboard mount rather than a remote panel board. Feet 100, 9.093. This row displays the available short circuit current for each feeder if 100 foot long. The big X on the table indicates that available short circuit is less than 10,000 amps. Means that standard industrial gear does not need special attention. And again, there are two parts for these tables. One is looking at it and answering your question. You know that you're running this feeder for this length. What's your available short circuit current? What available rating do you have to buy on equipment that you install at the end of this feeder? The other thing is to get a sense of when you drop down into the cheap seats, And that happens when you get to the 10,000 Ka available, and you can pick that off the table and get a sense of what your transformer is doing to you. Now, this may be more valuable than it appears at first thought, because you got an existing plant there. Now, yeah, you can use this if you're designing a new plant, but let's assume you've got an existing plant with a lot of installed gear. Well, when you do this for a new one you're installing, you look at it and you say, well, where can I put in what's the 10 Ka limit? And you say, you know, I got some stuff that's closer than that. I wonder if it's rated properly. And you go out and look at it and see if it's got withstand rating that's above what you now know to be the available fault current at that point. And this can be a surprise. You've got a problem you didn't realize till you went through this exercise. And it's very, very easy to happen. The code has only recently gotten sensitive to this idea of available fault current and withstand. Now, it was true all along. And if you looked in the fine print of the code, you could probably figure out that it meant you're not supposed to install stuff that blows up in people's faces. But we're emphasizing now, you look at the two numbers. You look at the available short circuit, you look at the withstand, and if they're not consistent, then you buy something different. Well, now that we know this, you've got a tool to make it easy to avoid problems in your plant. I stopped using the big X after the first table, but left it on this sheet to explain the use of the table. I kept doing computer runs because I started at 100 foot for all of them and continued until I got below 10,000 SCA. I didn't do the 10 foot runs because the 20 foot runs were so close to the transformer terminal value that it provided no value. Good news, kinda. If you are 20 feet away from the transformer or less, you can usually use the transformer terminal SCA and not worry about feeder impedance or direction. This isn't very good news, however, because it's expensive at the transformer terminals. However, it does imply that a utility service run of more than 50 feet can be a good thing. Now, what does that mean? That's a little bit of an obscure statement. If the utility brings up their medium voltage to three cans hanging on a pole outside your building, you are very interested in how long that feeder is from the transformer to your main distribution panel. And what we discover here is that something like 50 feet distance knocks down the available short circuit current tremendously, and it puts you in a much more economical class to buy that distribution panel. Now, is it a mistake to buy a panel that has too high a withstand rating? No. For years and years, everybody I work for bought heavy-duty equipment where they didn't need heavy-duty equipment because they thought they got longer life out of heavy-duty equipment. I'm not sure that's true in today's environment of value engineering. I think maybe that they cheapen everything to the minimum possible value, and when you buy heavy duty, you get one thing heavy duty rather than the whole box heavy duty. When we say it has a higher withstand, I think they put heavier insulation bracers on the bus bar, and that's all they do. I don't think you get a better quality device by getting a better withstand rating. But again, be aware of this. The distance from the utility transformers makes a lot of difference, and it's a lot of difference in price and the equipment you've got to buy to be code compliant. 10,000 feet, 0.421 or 400 amps short circuit current. This row displays the available short circuit current for each feeder if 2 miles long. I've done several remote pump stations for municipal water utilities and for industrials. The 2 mile distance is a real world value. Note that the available short circuit current is just slightly more than the full rated capacity of the feeder. This means that 1,124 amps, we're looking at the one at the other end of the line now, will flow for quite a while before the protective device recognizes an overload. It won't know that it's a bolted fault. A single line-to-ground fault might not exceed the overload setting and might not escalate into a line-to-line fault. Caveat, worry about this if you have any remote pump stations or guard shacks. Ground fault protection provides superb protection on this, and it works and works well below 1,000 amps, even though it's not required by the National Electric Code. What I'm saying is, with a lot of line impedance, the fault current goes down, and the protective devices will not work properly on a low fault. But there are other ways to detect a low fault, being the ground fault protection. Okay, the table is ready to look at 2,500 kVA, 5.5%, but I'm ready to take a break, and I suggest you do that. We'll come back and talk again at your convenience.